And so right now, knowing that this is all there is, I know that this is the truth of my being, that this presence, this life, this divine consciousness is living in, as, and through me now. And because that is all there is, that is all that I am made of, that I know that this reaches out into everything and everyone that is created. It is God presence. And in that method of creation, I speak my word, knowing that thoughts are things. As spirit is creating with a vision, bringing something into being, I too bring a vision and an idea and thought into being. And this vision is my life, how I create my life. And so, because spirit is unlimited, that my life can be unlimited, that the vision that I hold for myself can be bold and big and expanded. And so right here and now, I release any fears, any doubts, any smallness that I have held in the past. I let it go. For there is nothing that stands in the way of God, for God is all there is. And so I release this resistance to playing big. And I embrace that greater life with an open heart, with an open mind. And I allow the presence and power of the infinite to be revealed as my life. With that greater imagination, it is unlimited. And I'm so grateful for the ease and the flow and the way that this life that is unfolding in its greatness is supported by spirit. For it supports all that it creates, and it wants the greatest expression of itself, and therefore I am right in line with allowing spirit to move through me into a greater expression of itself. And so with great joy and expectancy, I open and I release this truth of my life and my faith of vision into that aspect of God that is bringing it into being right here and now. And I release this with claiming, and so it is.
So this month, we're looking at the idea of being pulled by vision. Not being pulled by your to-do list, as the song said, but being pulled by vision. What's the highest vision? What is it that's capturing my attention? And today's talk is your commitment greater than your resistance? Ooh, that's an interesting topic. Is your commitment to your vision greater than your resistance? See, whenever we have a vision, whenever we have a dream, whenever we're pulled and called by that, it first excites us and then it terrifies us if it's a good big vision. We get excited by the potential, by the possibilities, by what can be. My God, this is woo, you know? And yes, the life we want is that one from the song. And then our practical side kicks in with its incessant questions. How are you going to do that? How are you going to support yourself while you're doing that? Nobody's ever done that before. What makes you think you can do this? Think of the Wright brothers, this vision of flying. Nobody had ever done that before, and a whole lot of people had tried, and many had failed, sometimes fatally failing. And yet they still had that vision and kept at it. And then once we get all those questions, then there's all this wonderful wealth of negative beliefs that we've been carrying around from childhood on that kick in also. Who do you think you are? Don't go getting too big for your britches. Our family has never done anything like that. People from our family, people from our town, people from our, you know, whatever group, never, we don't do things like that. We're just a little church. We can't do big things. And on and on and on, take a breath. The thing to understand about resistance is it can be helpful or it can be hurtful. You know, when I'm bicycling down the road, air resistance slows me down. And I try to minimize it because I think it's a bad thing, you know, to have that resistance. But if I've jumped out of a plane and I'm deploying a parachute, resistance, air resistance is a good thing, yes? Now, I want some air resistance to slow me down. So is our practical resistance helpful or not? So resistance to a vision can be seen as simply questions that need answering. Just questions that need answering. Our mind is popping. We've just popped it with a big vision, and now it's starting to say, help me to understand this. Help me to make this real. I need information for this journey. I need information to allow this to come true. Once you hear your vision and your resistance kicks in, take a moment to just listen. Not get caught up in, but just listen to the resistance. Write it down. Sort it out. Separate real questions from the old constant chatter of who do you think you are beliefs. Once you've filtered out the chaff, you have some wheat, or a gluten-free version thereof, with which to work. So listen to the real wisdom that the real questions are calling forward. Maybe it's a question like, how are you going to afford to do this? And the answer might be, at this time, I don't know. That's a perfectly okay answer. Just because you've got the vision doesn't mean you have all the pieces in place for knowing how to do the vision, because otherwise it wouldn't be a big enough vision for you. But take that question, take those questions then back to the source of the vision, the capital S source, the infinite presence, and ask it to show you the way, to show you the answers. It's been said that we can never have a vision without a means to achieve the vision. The means are within the vision. We don't always see it at first. And that doesn't, by the way, mean that some vision will just happily pop up like a little leprechaun or a little fairy princess with a pot of gold for you. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be that easy, but oftentimes it takes some work. It takes some time. It takes some process to bring that about. But then the question at that point stops being, will the vision happen? And becomes, what is mine to do? What is mine to be and do so that this vision happens? It's a different question. Will it happen, or what is mine to do to make this happen? That's the commitment to the vision. This thing is going to happen. Now, what are the steps for it? Something else that's useful to recognize about resistance is it just as geese and cyclists and NASCAR drivers all work together to overcome resistance. You know, they all line up and they all have, you know, help break the aerodynamic resistance. Having support helps us overcome resistance to our vision. Having others involved and engaged helps us overcome. Yesterday I was doing we have a year-long program, Mystic Going, Path Going. And so yesterday was our workshop, and we were sitting in the workshop talking about our visions and our what was up for us, and realizing that we had this lovely, safe group to speak into that could hold this vision and not ask silly questions, but really understand it. And so have a group like that. You know, the writers of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the writers of the Chronicles of Narnia were in a writers group together. It's called the Ink Blots, I believe it was. Or ink spots. Anyways, they were in a group together. They read each other's works to each other and supported each other. Some of the great inventors, you know, were in a group together, were in a consciousness together. So working together enhances the whole. It enhances each individual and it enhances the whole. Working with a group or a prayer partner or a practitioner provides support and ideas along the way. I was once facilitating a process and intentions retreat over in Eastern Washington. And one of the people there was a musician. And one of the things I invited people to do was gather a group, bring your vision or your intention forward and get feedback for and of ideas of support for the other group. And the musician said, nobody understands my industry. I'm not going to get any ideas from that. And I kind of nudged her to go into the group anyways. And so she did. And she came out of the group going, oh my God, they presented some ideas that I had never even thought of. And that's the value of a group, because we know this much. And everybody else knows this much, but their this much is different than your this much. And so we collectively expand. So working with a group provides ideas and support along the way. Don't be the John Wayne, I'm going to go it alone, little missy, type of personality. You know, ask for support. Sometimes our resistance is the vision seems so big that we're actually embarrassed to talk about it. But that's just the old beliefs chattering away. Frankly, our vision should embarrass us. It should challenge us. It should make us feel, you know, the old self should feel a little small and a little challenged. And it should take us to the who do you think you are place in our consciousness. So we realize that of ourselves, we can't do it just by myself. Jesus himself said, it is not I, but the Father within that does the work. Of myself, I can do nothing. It is the Father. And so it's that challenge. Our vision should take us to that place where we have to turn within to that bigger power, because our little intellect and all that it already knows can't go into that new land. So we have to get help, including divine help, to have it done. Those are the kinds of dreams, the kinds of visions, the kind of goals which are worthy of us, that expand us. We talked last week about a vision should expand us. We should never ask if we are worthy of the vision. We should ask if the vision is worthy of us, because we're God in form. Nudge the person in the screen next to you, in the little square there, just give them a nudge, say, hey, you're God in form. Remember that. We're here to embody big visions. You know, there's a wonderful line in a Narayan and Janet song that says, all my dreams are waiting for me to come true. All my dreams are waiting for me to come true. When I come true, when I come to center, I am an open channel for the universal flow. I allow it to move out. I allow it to move through me. And not only do I catch the visions for my life, I also become the conduit through which they show up. Because I'm willing to be big enough, I'm willing to expand enough. When I make the vision more powerful, and this is a process any of you who ever did neuro-linguistic programming or work with that kind of field, you know that you take a vision in your mind, in the screen of your mind, the movie screen of your mind, and you make it bigger and brighter and more powerful in your mind as you visualize it. You make it more powerful and bigger and brighter than all the little ideas of resistance. Those little ideas are like the Lilliputians in Gulliver's Travels, where when he fell asleep, and sometimes we can fall asleep and forget who we are. Anybody besides me ever fall asleep and forget who you are? When we do, they can wrap us up with all these little cords, which by themselves are nothing, but collectively, you know, can hold us back until we wake up and remember who we are. So it's important to take time to remember who we truly are. In the story of the prodigal son, it says he came to himself. In other words, he remembered, wait a minute, I'm my father's son. I'm going back to that home. And that's the call for each of us to remember who we truly are. And so to do this, take some time to visualize your vision as already so. Visioning is capturing the vision, capturing the idea. Visualizing is then taking it and making it more real in your mind. So it becomes real in your existence. See all the wonderful consequences of this vision as you hold it. See how it benefits you. See how it benefits others. See how it blesses you and the world. Now imagine it even bigger, even larger, even more expansive. Because the truth is that we can't see how far the ripples go for anything we do. Let it grow and glow in your imagination until it fills the entire IMAX screen of your imagination. Put music to it. Set it in 3D. Imagine the entire universe is cheering for your vision, because it is. You wouldn't have the vision unless the universe wanted to manifest it through you. That's the nature of vision. Now, for some of you, you might sit there and go, oh, this is kind of preposterous. I'm not going to do that. That's too much. You know, I don't want to get that excited. That's just your Lilliputian consciousness saying, oh, play small. Don't be so silly. Don't be so out there. Be practical. Be cool. Don't get excited. Take a breath. The universe is passionate. In case you haven't noticed, when God, you know, that infinite beingness, whatever you want to call it, expresses itself as the universe, it doesn't do it in little small ways. There's galaxies. Have you noticed? There's, you know, each of them with billions of stars, and there's supposedly billions of galaxies. You know, there's all of this. The universe doesn't play small. Why should you? So ask yourself, is the voice of that resistance, is the voice of that playing small what you're going to follow, or are you going to follow the voice of your vision? Is that more important? I invite you to follow the voice of your vision. Because otherwise, at the end of your life, what will your epitaph be? Will it say, here lies a visionary who gave their all. Here lies someone who chose that life, that one. Or here lies someone who played it safe all their life. I know which one I want. I want that one. And I hope you do too. So let your vision outgrow your resistance and outglow your resistance. It's already bigger by its very nature. And by the way, so are you. Bring your passion, bring your excitement, let it grow. Yes, sometimes you'll be disappointed. Sometimes you'll have setbacks, and sometimes you'll have the feeling it's never going to happen. We all have that. I love the question to Thomas Edison, you know, after he found 1,000 ways of, after he, quote, failed 1,000 times to make the light bulb. And some reporter asked him about it, and he said, well, you know, haven't you failed 1,000 times? And he said, I haven't failed 1,000 times. I've just found 1,000 ways that don't work to make the light bulb. That doesn't mean there isn't a way to make the light bulb out there. And he kept on going. And as we know, he got that vision. And we all have better vision because of it. You'll have setbacks. You'll have that feeling that it's not going to happen. And it's not just about whether it happens or not. It's about who you and I become as we work towards that vision. Because again, the vision calls for us to expand, to expand. So we let the vision work with us. We let the vision work on us as we work the vision. So let your resistance fall away and step into a commitment, a big, full-on commitment to the vision. So this week, reawaken, recapture your vision. You know, most of us have a vision. We know what it is. We've been hanging on to it since we were kids. You know, when my ex-wife first decided that she wanted to be a minister and we went to a program about ministerial school, I was a happy practitioner. I had no desire to be a minister, none whatsoever. And we went to that information meeting and got a whole lot of stuff, you know, about that. And I remember the spot on the 520 bridge when I was driving home from that meeting that I was at, and I suddenly went, why wouldn't I be a minister? I was the kid who was building altars in my basement saying mass while, you know, while my friends were out playing baseball, you know? I've been the Zen Buddhist and the Taoist and nature, this essence of spirit, this spiritual quality has been the most important thing in my life for my whole life. It's like, why wouldn't I be a minister? And it sort of reawakened that vision and reawakened that thing that I put aside so I could get jobs and make money and do life, right? But it wasn't what I really wanted. So we each have a vision. We each have something that's been calling us. Let it reawaken within you. You've been hiding it maybe. You've been holding on to it out of fear for years. Invite your consciousness to remind you. Who did I come here to be? What is the vision that I really came here to live? And then ask, the second part of this is ask, who must I become and what must I let go of to manifest this vision, to let it expand me into who I really am? And then the final practice is visualize it already realized. Visualize it already done. Imagine it projected on that IMAX screen in the theater of your mind with lights and colors and sound and music. And let it be there until you realize you must have this vision. You must. My life depends upon manifesting this vision. Are you willing to play with that? Listening to or reawakening the vision, asking who must I become? What must I release? And then finally visualizing it is already done, big and bright and bold. Good with that for this week?
Yes.
In Harry Potter, in the very first Harry Potter movie, there's a fabulous scene where Professor Quirrell comes running into the Great Hall during dinner and yells, "Troll in the dungeon!" and passes out. And immediately there's chaos, and finally they organize everybody to go back to their dorm rooms, basically. And Ron and Harry realize that Hermione, their friend, is in the girls' bathroom crying because they had kind of insulted her. She never showed up for dinner. And they realize that she doesn't know what's going on. So they set the intention of going to get her. We talk about this in the intentions retreat sometimes. Their intention is to keep Hermione safe. And so they run down to the hall, to the girls' bathroom, to let her know about that. And that's a relatively easy way to keep her safe. Unfortunately, when they get to the girls' bathroom, they find the troll is no longer in the dungeon. The troll is in the girls' bathroom. At that point, they have a decision to make. Do I play it safe, which is get the heck out of there, and Hermione's on her own? Or do I stick with my intention? Do I stick with my vision, if you will, that Hermione is safe? And they choose the latter. But now the ante is upped. And so the vision must happen. The vision must happen. And so I invite you to have that level. And of course, it works out. And of course, they have no idea how to make that vision happening. And they're throwing rocks at this troll, and they're doing things. At one point, Harry takes this wand that he will, years later, do battle with the Dark Lord for as he becomes his own powerful wizard. And he uses his wand to stick it up the troll's nose, because that's the only thing he can think of to do with his wand, because he doesn't know any spells. He doesn't have any of that stuff. That's sometimes how our vision is like. We start off, we get it. And we realize it has to happen. So we start throwing whatever we can think of at it, and some combination and a little bit of divine intervention, if you will, works for us to support us in that process. That's the consciousness that I invite you to bring to your vision, is whatever is needed, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to close with a quote. It's a quote that many of you know because it's from Marianne Williamson, and she's made it famous, and Nelson Mandela used it in his inauguration speech. But I think it's good just to once in a while remember this and hear this to remind us of who we are. And the quote is, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be fabulous and brilliant and gorgeous and talented? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God, or as we would say, an expression of God. Your playing small does not serve the world." Breathe. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you, or that you won't feel insecure around them either. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So it does. So it is. So let us take a moment as we begin to close to remember that there is one infinite presence, one and only one. And when we say, "I'll choose that one," that is the one, capital O, one, that I choose. It is a life, it is a oneness, it is a beingness that is intelligent, that is love itself, that is intelligence itself, that is goodness itself, And when we remember that truth and recognize that it is all that there is, all there ever has been, all there ever will be, we remember and we recognize that we must be and can only be one of that infinite presence because we must be within it. There is nowhere else to be. And so I speak my word that each of us, as we hear this vision, this divine call, this divine urge, this divine impetus that is trying to move through us, that is seeking to move through us, that we say yes, that our resistance is nothing in the face of the brightness and the brilliance and the power and the glory of the vision of the individualized expression of the divine that each of us is and that each of us is being called to be and be more of. And so we bring our brilliance. We bring our expansion. We release resistance. We bring our expansiveness. We bring our best. We bring our excellence to this world, to our lives, and to the lives of others. That we are supported, always supported, constantly supported by the universe in being itself, individually, uniquely as each of us. And so we say yes to this vision. We say yes to the individual vision. We say yes to the collective vision of our community. We say yes to the collective vision of a world that works for all. We say yes to the vision of pure love as the truth of all of life. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for each of us who is saying yes to our visions and to the larger visions. I'm grateful for the infinite presence that continues to express itself in, through, and as each of us, that takes the time and the thought and the energy to be each of us. I'm grateful for the wonderfulness that comes from all of this. And so in that state of gratitude, I release this word into a law, into that process that knows exactly how to manifest it and is doing so right now. And we release, we quit trying to do it all by ourselves and let that law, that flow of the river of the divine, move us, guide us, direct us in every degree, in every aspect, in every detail of our lives, because that's what it does. We are good. It is good. And so it is.